All right, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 48. I was in a missions conference last week, and people kept asking me, what happened to your arm? And I said, like David Livingston of old, I was attacked by a lion in Africa. And then I had to tell them the truth. But anyway, praise the Lord. Speaking of Africa, keep praying for the building situation. Of course, you know we were able to purchase those buildings. Adam and Carol have been working real hard, and they're getting it renovated. They officially, we were approved. We had to go through the temporary approval. Then we've got official approval from the council to use it for a church now. Now all that's left is an inspection that's supposed to happen this coming week, or next week, or next month, or you never know how those things work. But prayerfully, they can move in. It would be really good if they could move in before August, because our big anniversary month, like you have a fall push year, we have our push there in August. So pray that that can get going. Amen. Isaiah 48. The title of my message is actually kind of fitting for the day. It's the furnace of affliction. The furnace of affliction. Actually, I didn't pick it because it was hot out. It's a message that I've actually started on almost 2 years ago. Yeah, I am slow. It takes me a long time to get things together. But haven't been able to preach it yet, but Lord has got it for us tonight. Isaiah 48, verse number 10, is one verse. Says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word and the power that it has. We're thankful for all those that came out tonight, not to hear me, but to hear from you. And I pray that we leave here having met with you. And I pray you also meet our needs. You know the trials that each one of us face. You know what you want to do with it. Sometimes we start to question. Sometimes we lack faith. But may this message be a blessing to others, as it's been to me as I've been preparing it. I just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two words found in our text that would seem to make us a little bit uncomfortable. The first word is furnace. You know, a furnace is a place of extreme fire and heat. I still don't like the heat, Brother Ramos. It doesn't matter how long I live in Africa, I never get used to it. But the other word is affliction. Affliction means a state of pain, distress, or grief. Now, you put those two things together, and God says that that he's chosen us out of in a furnace of affliction. That means a lot of trouble. And it's going to happen that way. If you haven't had a lot of trouble in life, you will face it someday. And some have more than others. But neither one of those two words are pleasant to us. But God uses those words to describe how he deals with us. And I hope that we'll consider what our text reveals about this furnace, because it's God's will for his children to go into the furnace of affliction at times. He never plans on leaving us there, praise the Lord for that. But he does want us to get in there. And I just want to point out a couple things from the text. First of all, the furnace of affliction, it's a place of suffering. It's a place of suffering. I think it's no exaggeration to say that flames and affliction will create some form of suffering. And we've been reminded over and over in the Bible that suffering is part of the Christian's life, and it's necessary. You think, just in physical terms, when someone has appendicitis, if that thing bursts, their life is in jeopardy. And it's painful to get bad things out of our lives. But in that case, surgery with a little bit of pain to remove that inflamed appendix is good, so it doesn't kill us. In the same way, it's painful for us to get sin out of our life, but it's just as necessary to get it out, because to be carnally minded is death. And we need to get the sin out. We need the dross removed. We need the impurities to be just purged out of us. And the only way that that happens is through the furnace of affliction. Now, the place of suffering, first of all, we think that suffering is usually because of sin. And oftentimes it is. Right here in our text, a little earlier, it says in verse number 4, Isaiah 48, verse 4, it says, "Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is as an iron sinew, and thy brow brass." He's talking about stubbornness, hard-headedness. You ever have a problem with that? You know, this is a sin that God had to deal with His people about, and He threw them in the fiery furnace, the furnace of affliction, because He wanted that stubbornness, that rebellion, that hard-headedness to get out. We fight against God. God tries to work in our lives, and we fight against Him. And it's you'll never win. You'll never win fighting against God. God said His people were in a furnace of affliction because they had sinned. And He just wanted to burn away a little bit of that dross. And we should learn to be like David. Because David said in Psalm 25:18, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." He realized his affliction and his pain were the result of his sins. And it made him look inside. And when we go through the fiery times in our life, the trials, I don't know what your trials are. Maybe it's marriage problems. Man, I'll tell you, follow the book, you're going to have a good marriage. Maybe it's problems with your kids. Kids take a long time to work with, amen? And, you know, just when you think you got something going in the right direction, all of a sudden something else pops up. It's a full-time job, parenting. Maybe you're going through financial difficulties. Praise God, God as a whole has been blessing this church financially. It's wonderful. But there are some, I'm sure, who are facing some struggles. We all have times of distress. And it made David look into his heart and say, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." It ought to cause us to take a look inside. Jonah was backslidden, and God put him in a trial. He put him in a tight spot. He put him wrapped around with seaweed and sitting in the belly of the whale. Man, that must have stunk. Jonah cried, he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Why did he start praying to God? Because he was in affliction. And sometimes when we're going down the wrong road, God has to do something to get our attention. He sees that we're in sin. We don't see it. So he just slaps us upside the head. And Jonah said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Suffering led him to repent. And it helps us to get right with God. But that's not the only reason why God might have us go into the furnace of affliction. It's not just suffering because of sin. Sometimes it's suffering for the purpose of sanctification. Sanctification is just meaning to get a little bit closer to God, be a little bit more set apart for His service, to be more useful. And we're told over and over in the Bible that we will suffer afflictions. And it's not only when we're in sin. Sometimes we'll see someone going through a tough time, and the hypocrites will say, "I wonder what they did wrong." Maybe they did nothing wrong. Maybe God just wants to use them a little bit more. And in Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, "Many are the afflictions of" who? The righteous. It's not only those who are in wicked sin, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God will put us in the furnace of affliction, but He'll get us out. He'll get us out. Consider Job. Job, The Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He was a good guy. He loved God. He prayed for his family. And he lost everything. And the devil afflicted him. And God let it happen. And in Job 23:10, he said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job was a good man, but he needed to be refined so God could bless him more and so God could use him more. Are we any different? Sometimes we say, "Well, I've been serving God and I've been doing what's right. Why am I having all these problems?" Because God wants to bless you more. He wants to use you more. Look what Moses did. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." He chose to suffer affliction. Now listen, I'll take it if it's coming my way, but I'm not usually out there looking for it. I don't know about you. I'm not usually praying, "Lord, please afflict me some more." No, it's usually the opposite. But here's Moses. He chose it. And what did God do? He rewarded him by making him a great leader of the children of Israel. The purpose was for sanctification. Suffering works that way. And it brings to light the impurities in our life and it helps to remove them. We're familiar with that phrase, "purified seven times," referring to, you know, the Word of God. But why purified seven times? You know, by probably the fourth or fifth time, you and I might not notice much dross in the silver after it's purified four or five times. Why seven times? The reason is because the expert can see it and still knows there's something that's not good in there. And God is the expert of our lives. And He knows no matter how pure we may seem to be, maybe how pure we seem to be to ourselves or how pure we may seem to be to others, there's still some dross that needs to be removed. And God wants real purity. Do you really want a good ministry? You know, we pray, you know, it's so often we pray for God to bless in a certain area, and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out. It's that way with our kids. "God, show me what's wrong with my kids. Help me be a better father. Help me to do this." And then all of a sudden, wham, something comes up. God is answering that prayer. He is showing us through the fires of affliction. Suffering's part of the sanctifying process. We say we want to be closer to God. We want to win more souls. We really want God's power. Isn't it terrible to go out in your ministries in the flesh? You don't enjoy it. I mean, I was a bus captain for years. There are some times where I dreaded the fall push. And then there was other times where I really enjoyed it. God wants us to have His power in everything we do. I already mentioned the marriage. There's nothing better in life than having a good marriage. I'll say it again. There's nothing better. You could take everything from me, but if I could have my wife and kids, amen. I'm a happy man. I'm a blessed man. We say we want all these things, but we don't want to go through suffering. You know, people suffer different ways, and God will send the furnace in different ways. Some people will have to suffer physically. Some short-term, severe crises. Some long-term. It's a furnace of affliction where God's trying to get you closer to Him. Some suffer emotionally from being persecuted or picked on at work or whatever. But however it works, whether it's at home, at work, in your neighborhood, the suffering is going to work to your good. And we just need to let God have His perfect way. He just wants us closer to Him. That's all. Just to be closer to Him. We shouldn't just be walking through life ho-hum, going through the motions. We need the presence of God. So, the furnace of affliction, it's a place of suffering. Secondly, it's a place of security. What do you mean security? Well, yeah, a furnace is a secure place. It's not like an open fire. It's got walls to keep things in the fire. That doesn't sound so good, right? Because if it was just a campfire, we'd probably try to roll out of it. But God's got this furnace. He's got the walls. He puts us in there and says, "You're not getting out till I'm done." And we need that. Now, continue looking at this text with me, verse 10 again. "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." He says, "I have chosen thee." Those words are real important. Now, we're not going to feel secure because there's a fire in there, but we're going to feel secure because it's God's furnace. He's chosen it for us. You know, sometimes we look and see people go through tough times. We feel real bad for them. And we should enter into their suffering so we can pray for them. But you also have to know that God's with them. And God's got a plan for them in their life. And we're not going to be left in the fire too long. And as long as we're in there, we're safe because of the promises of God. Now, maybe you're in the furnace today. Maybe you're going to be going in there soon. I don't know. But let me just give you a couple of reasons why we're secure, why it's a place of security. We're secure because of God's presence. Turn with me back to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. We're secure because of God's presence. Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 1, it says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You see, the flame in the fire is not to burn us. It's to burn off the dross. It's to get rid of the sin. It's not to hurt us. And so often we look and say, "Oh, why did you do that to me?" No, no, no. He says in verse 3, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." Hey, we might walk through the fire, but it's not going to burn us. Turn with me back to over to Daniel chapter 3. Can't talk about the furnace affliction without touching on these guys. Daniel chapter 3. You see, the flames are not going to burn us. You know, I was thinking, you know, when my son was going through all those problems and real sick there in Africa, and we couldn't figure out what's going on, and things were going crazy. It was a trial. It was tough. It was tough to watch. It was tough to go through as a dad and for my wife to have to not only deal with me, but then to deal with him. But did it make my kid a worse kid? No. I'm not saying he's great, and he's certainly not perfect. But it didn't make him worse. That's my point. God used it to help that little knucklehead to learn how to trust in Him, to learn how to pray. and to learn how to look to God to help him out of his troubles. It didn't hurt him spiritually. No flames, no fires are going to hurt us spiritually. They may touch our body, but they should never drive us into sin. They should always drive us to God. In Daniel chapter 3, verse number 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The three young men were in the furnace of affliction, but notice who was there with them. It was Jesus. You see, it's the furnace, we don't like it, but don't worry, it's a place of security because of God's presence. We're secure because God is there. And it's the safest place in the world for us to be. The safest place in the world for these three young men was to be in that fiery furnace with Jesus. It's better to be in a place of trouble with God than in a peaceful place without Him. Because it won't be as peaceful as you think it will be. The Lord will go through with us all of our fiery trials. He's promised never to leave us, nor to forsake us. And we may experience fiery trials, but with the Lord with us, those fires will never harm us. Verse 27, look what happened there. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. No power. The fire had no power. I like that. I like that. It's also a secure place because of God's power. 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul exhorted Timothy. He said, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That's how we partake of afflictions, according to the power of God. We endure through God's power, not through our own strength. The furnace is not so that we get toughen ourselves up and say, I'm going to get through this. But so we go to God and say, God, you got to get me through this. Come to the end of yourself, and then God will start working. God doesn't leave us unequipped to suffer. He gives us the power to go through the times and those difficulties. You know, it's crazy. Some people say, well, things got so tough in my life, I just had to take a drink. No, you didn't. Well, things are just so tough and I just got so angry. I don't usually cuss, but I cussed because I was upset. That just shows you where you have been spiritually all along. Not where you think you were. Whatever difficulty you may be currently facing, the Lord has promised power to get through it. It's a place of security, this furnace. You can almost get comfortable a little bit in it. Because God's with you. Because you've got God's power if you look for Him. And then also because of God's pity. It says in Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And God listens to the prayers of those who are afflicted. He's got a special ear open for those kind of people. Because He knows what He's doing. He knows why He's got you in the furnace, and He knows what He's trying to get accomplished. So He's all ears waiting for you to cry out to Him. Just like Jonah. He was just waiting for Jonah to get his heart right and come to Him. Waiting for Jonah to call upon Him. And God heard him and took care of it. Psalm 22, verse 24 says, for He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He doesn't despise. The word despise means to just disregard. He doesn't just, well, whatever. He's not hard-hearted. He's a merciful, pitiful God. It says, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. It's a secure place also because of God's provision. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul experienced a lot of persecution at Thessalonica, and he was driven out of the city, and he left those Christians in a very tough situation, knowing that they were also going to be facing persecution and trouble. And in verse number 2, well, we'll start in verse number 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. He said, I couldn't bear it any longer. I had to find out what was going on. He said in verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. He says, you know, he was talking to brand new Christians. He says, you know that we are appointed to afflictions. Not just Paul. He says, you guys also, we're appointed to it. And he says, I'm doing something about this. I'm sending Timothy to help comfort you and to establish you in your faith. See, God provided comfort for these people during their difficult times. They even got the book of 1 Thessalonians. He inspired a whole book of the Bible just for them. Don't you think God will take care of you and provide for you? And by the way, He will use His word and He will use His men who will come and try to help comfort you and strengthen you and establish you. But we've got to be listening. We better be listening. So if He's going to provide us with this comfort during difficult times, we may as well open our eyes and start looking for it by faith. Seek it by prayer and fellowship with Him. And not only that, but get in the Scriptures. Get in the Bible. He's promised to comfort us through the Scriptures. Romans 15, verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures. Man, when you're going through the tough time, don't make phone calls. Get in the Bible. David said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Quickened. It's given me life. Man, he will take a lot out of you. It'll drain you. It'll zap everything you've got, right? But you get in the Word during these times of affliction, and God will quicken you. He will give you life. But there are times you just throw up your hands and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I can't take anymore. It gets tough. I know. You don't know what to do. You get in the book. If there's anything over these last few years since we've been in Zambia and gone through a few different things, if there's anything that I've learned is I need the Bible more than ever. I don't read the Bible less the more I go as a Christian. I'm reading it more. I need it more. So we need to remember it's God's furnace, so it's a safe place to be. Place of suffering. It's a place of security. But then the exciting part is a place of selection. It's a place of selection. When the Lord looks for servants to use in a special way, which room do you think He looks in? You think he goes to the bedroom where saints are sleeping? How about the banqueting room where people are gorging themselves to fill their carnal appetites? No, he's not going to look there. When he's got a real important job to do, he goes to the entertainment room and finds the one who spends all his time playing, right? No. He doesn't look in the lounge where people are loafing around. He looks in the furnace room. Do we need to be reminded? John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress in a prison, not in a palace. This is how God works. God chooses people. He selects people in this furnace of affliction. He'll put us in the furnace. He wants to burn off some of this dross and get some of the impurities out of our lives and get us a little bit closer to Him so that He can say, now I can use you. Now I can bless your bus route. Now I can pour out my blessing upon your nursing home ministry. Now I can really build your Sunday school class. But we may have to go through some things in order to get that. Do you want to be chosen of God for something special? Then you got to consider where He chooses people. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So we must be willing to go through those fires. And God will surely send those fires. It's going to happen. But not to destroy us. He doesn't want to consume us. He just wants to make us better. It's not His plan to leave us in the furnace. He wants us to bring us out and show us off. Man, those people who are working with metals and they purify that gold and they purify that silver. And I read somewhere that it's harder to purify silver than gold, actually. And it's probably a whole lot harder to purify our hearts, isn't it? But God, just as that guy purifies that silver so he can show it off, God doesn't want to show us off, but He wants to take us and use us and show Himself off. If anything good has happened in our life, we can't say, hey, look at me. But we can certainly say, look what God did in my life. And then God gets the glory. He really wants that. Turn with me to Psalm 66. There's David again. He realized that God had tried him. In Psalm 66, verses 10 through 12, he says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." That's going through the fire. "Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins." That doesn't sound fun. But then he says, "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." I'm telling you, I'm looking for my wealthy place. And you ought to be looking for, now that's not talking about money here. It's talking about the richest blessings of God. And man, when God pours His blessing out into your marriage and into your family, or if He blesses your finances, which to me is the least of all of them of importance, but when He pours His blessing out on your ministry, it's just exciting to see God work. David knew that God had tried him, and He brought him through the fire, but He did it to reward him and to bring him into this wealthy place. There's a reward for going through the fire. He'd been through the furnace of affliction. He faced a bear. He faced a lion. He volunteered to go against Goliath, and his brothers made fun of him. Saul tried to kill him. He had people all over the place chasing him down. But God made him a great king. And God chose him in a furnace of affliction. That's how God chooses people. He takes people from this church who were doing little and ran them through the furnace of affliction. And they learned to trust God. And they got involved in the ministries more than they've ever been in their lives. And they're happier than they've ever been in their lives. And anyone who's ever gone through it would go back and say, I wouldn't trade any of those problems for anything. Because of the results and the blessings that God is given. What about the three Hebrew boys? The same fire which destroyed the guards who threw them in preserved them and promoted them. And they got a greater position. The furnace of affliction is a place where we can be refined into better people. We ought to welcome it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. How can you not like Joseph in the Bible, huh? Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. I've got this part in my Bible underlined. But God was with him. Man, did Joseph go through the furnace of affliction? Well, he sure did. But God was with him. And then it says in verse 10, and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. He delivered him, he gave him, and he made him something special. Why? He was going through the fires of affliction. The people that we admire the most in the Bible, we see the things that they did, the greatest things, were most of them were the people who went through the most hardships. He was chosen. Joseph was in a difficult environment. Yeah, he was hated by his brethren. That's not nice to be hated by people you love. But he was hated. They called him names. They spoke of killing him. That's not easy. And then further, we know they threw him in the pit. And they saw his suffering and they didn't even care. They had no heart to even think, hey, let's give him some water, let's give him some food. And they sold him as a slave. You know the story. He went and he served God and God blessed him. And then he was tempted and refused temptation, and because of that, he was falsely accused and thrown in prison. And then when he was forgotten there. And he spent years going through that. Years! Man, we go through a problem and a trial, and we want it over like that, don't we?
God, I learned my lesson. Okay. Get me out. A little bit hot. Turn the air conditioning on.
God doesn't work that way sometimes. God had him in the fire a little bit longer because he was going to make him a little bit stronger. Well, you know, over in Zambia, a lot of people build houses and buildings with bricks. Well, they take some mud and they form the bricks and they let it dry out in the sun. And then they take all those bricks, they're about this big, and then they stack them up. And they make a brick kiln, and they put firewood in there, and they burn it for about a week. And they just keep that fire going, and they keep that fire going. And then they unpack it, and those brown bricks, after they're burnt, are red. You know, mud bricks fall apart real easily. But when they're burnt, they can be really strong sometimes if they're burnt properly. The fire makes them stronger. And God left Joseph in the cooker a little bit longer because he wanted him stronger. Because he had a greater job for him to do. Yeah, Joseph was afflicted for a season, but just so that God could make him a great man. The furnace affliction has been the tool that God has used to shape and form some of His choicest and finest servants. Don't complain. Don't try to wiggle out of it. Trust Him through it. Those that have suffered the most have usually been those, if they've taken it right, have been the ones who've been used the most. I put that in there because sometimes people suffer a lot and they don't take it right, so they're not used much. We better never complain about suffering for the cause of Christ. Rather, we ought to rejoice that He's molding us to a more useful vessel. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet," that means fit for the master's use, "and prepared unto every good work." We're more fit, a more fit vessel, a more useful vessel to be used in a special way once we're purged of those sinful ways in the furnace of affliction. Now maybe we can understand why Paul said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." Now that's hard. That's a hard place to get to, isn't it? Where you can actually say, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We like to get to the end part and say, "Yeah, when I'm weak, then I'm strong." But we don't usually like to get to that part where I say, "I take pleasure." I don't like afflictions. I like the results, but I don't like the afflictions. William Carey is known as the father of modern missions, and he served in India from 1793 till 1834. He won many souls. He translated the scriptures. He had a large print shop in Serampore. And in March 11, 1812, a tragedy struck. He was away in Calcutta teaching, and a fire broke out and burnt the print shop. The people around tried desperately to save the print shop, and a few little things were saved, but most everything was completely destroyed. Lost in the fire. Think with me. This is back in 1812. Okay, he didn't have a flash drive. He didn't have carbonite. There was no backup. He lost his entire library. He lost the completed Sanskrit dictionary that he had worked hard to produce, part of his Bengal dictionary, 2 grammar books. It's hard work to put a grammar book together. He lost typesets for printing in 14 languages. He lost vast amounts of paper from England, and worst of all, 10 translations of the Bible. Gone. Up in smoke. 10 translations of the Bible. Wow. He returned from Calcutta and he wept and he said, "In one short evening, the labors of years are consumed. How unsearchable are the ways of God." He started looking inside. He said, "I had lately brought some things to the utmost perfection of which they seemed capable. I've worked so hard, it seemed like they couldn't have gotten any better. And contemplated the missionary establishment with perhaps too much self-congratulation. The Lord has laid me low that I may look more simply to Him." He was heartbroken, but resilient. He didn't quit. He got back to work right away. And he said later, the loss is heavy, but as traveling a road the second time is usually done with greater ease than the first time, so I trust the work will lose nothing of real value. We are not discouraged. Indeed, the work is already begun, again in every language. We are cast down, but not in despair. Man, this guy was in the fire, but he knew he was secure because God was with him. And within a few months, he was in a warehouse. In fact, news had traveled to Europe and America. And just in England and Scotland alone, within the first 50 days of news reaching there, 10,000 British pounds were raised. And much more was raised to follow. In fact, so much more was raised that they had to say, hey, we just stop sending the money. 10,000 pounds in 1812. That's about $16,000 today. In 1812, that must have been a fortune. Well, what happened? Not only did he get the money to help rebuild, but many laborers volunteered and came to India to help. His life inspired other people like Adoniram Judson and several other great missionaries. By 1832, though, Carey's had rebuilt and expanded the print shop, and he published complete Bibles and portions of Bibles in 44 languages and dialects. Literally, Carey's work was chosen from the fires of affliction. And Carey accomplished more for God, and he also inspired many others to join in the work. And the Lord may choose you in a furnace of affliction to be a blessing to many others. Are you willing to go through those fires temporarily so that you can become more useful to the Lord? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.